For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. A Kessler encounter prompts a change in policy at UVA. The state urges residents to start preparing for hurricanes. And a UVA student's death leads to an international lawsuit. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, April 27th, 2018.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The Law Library at the University of Virginia has changed its access policy after two appearances from the main organizer of last summer's white nationalist rally and the arrest of a protester. The Daily Progress reports law students, faculty, and staff must now present university identification to gain access to the library. Anyone without identification won't be able to enter during the school's exam period. Dean of Law Raisa Goloboff also said she was exploring additional steps. The changes come after Jason Kessler showed up at the library twice, drawing crowds. University police arrested a man for trespassing after he attempted to enter a room where Kessler was. Kessler was the primary organizer of the Unite the Right white nationalist rally, which descended into violence. In a victory for privacy advocates, the Supreme Court of Virginia has ruled that a lawsuit challenging a police department's practice of keeping data from automated license plate readers for a year can move forward. Last year, a judge dismissed a case filed by the American Civil Liberties Union in Fairfax County, ruling that a license plate doesn't contain personal information. But on Thursday, the state's highest court reversed that ruling and sent the case back down to circuit court to determine whether the record-keeping process provides police with a readily made link to the vehicle's owner. Police have said the data is crucial to help find missing people and solve crimes. Critics worry the information can be used to track people who are not suspected of a crime. A new Virginia Legislative Committee on School Safety held its first official meeting yesterday. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports.
There will be three subcommittees, one focused on security, another on behavioral health, and a third on prevention and response protocol. House Speaker Kirk Cox is chairing the full committee.
School safety is a very complex and multifaceted issue. It doesn't fit neatly into any of the traditional standing House committees, nor is it suited to any particular area of expertise.
Committee members heard reports on 2013 school safety recommendations, as well as what measures are in place now. The next meeting is scheduled for June, with subcommittees expected to submit separate recommendations to the full committee in September, in time for next year's General Assembly session. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
A former Virginia high school science teacher has pleaded guilty to a federal child pornography charge. Federal prosecutors announced Richard Allen Well-Beloved Stone's plea Thursday. Law enforcement officials began investigating Well-Beloved Stone after he chatted online about child sex abuse with an undercover agent in the United Kingdom. Prosecutors said a search of Well-Beloved Stone's home found several child pornography images of at least two minors. Well-Beloved Stone was suspended from his job as an environmental sciences teacher at Charlottesville High School after he was arrested by police last year. He was first hired by the district in 2002. Police across Central Virginia are setting up prescription drug drop-off points Saturday at various locations to keep the drugs from getting into the hands of abusers. The effort is part of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription Take-Back Day. Law enforcement has collected an estimated 4,500 tons of prescription pills since the take-back started in 2010. Officials say collecting old prescriptions, especially painkillers, can help curb drug abuse. Albemarle County police officials say the service is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and is free and anonymous. Hurricane season begins in about a month, and state leaders are urging Virginia residents to start planning now. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
At this moment, no hurricanes are headed toward Virginia, but that can change, and hurricane season is just around the corner. That's why state leaders are urging Virginians to get flood insurance. Michael McShane at Old Dominion University says everybody should get flood insurance, whether you live in a floodplain or not.
25% of the people that are flooded typically live outside the high-risk zone, so the high-risk zone is not a good indicator of whether you're going to flood.
He says everybody is at risk, so check your insurance policy to see if you already have flood insurance. If you don't live in a high-risk zone, it's probably pretty cheap anyway. Gina DiCicco is Floodplain Program Manager for the Department of Conservation and Recreation.
When Hurricane Matthew hit in 2016, about 70% of individual assistance claims came from outside of the special flood hazard areas. So even those who are not in a mapped floodplain still have flood risk.
And if you think your homeowner's insurance covers floods, think again. It doesn't. But if you get flood insurance by the beginning of May, the policy will be active just in time for hurricane season. I'm Michael Pope.
The parents of Otto Warmbier, a University of Virginia student who died last year after his detention in North Korea, have filed a wrongful death suit against the North Korean government, alleging their son was tortured and killed. Warmbier was held in North Korea for 17 months before his medical evacuation to the United States last June. He died days after his return. The suit was filed in U.S. District Court in Washington on Thursday by his parents Fred and Cindy Warmbier of Cincinnati. North Korea denied mistreating him and said that he had contracted botulism and fell into a coma after taking a sleeping pill. The suit alleges Warmbier was forced to read a false televised confession that said, among other things, that he took down a political sign in the hotel where he was staying on behalf of a Methodist church in Cincinnati in exchange for the promise of a used car. The North Koreans also had Warmbier say his actions were encouraged by a secret society at UVA. He was convicted of state subversion in 2016 during an hour-long trial and sentenced to 15 years of hard labor. The suit brands the botulism case as false and says that physicians in the U.S. found no evidence to support it. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.